Hi there, and welcome to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm the host of this podcast show. Do you get caught up in self-defeating habits and then feel frustrated when it's hard to get your way out? Or maybe you feel worried about somebody else's problem behavior. And if so, then this show is for you. And if you feel a little bit out of control about this, or worried, or feeling like you need to cover up how bad you feel and you're putting on a happy face, well, Habits into Health programs, including this free podcast, are a great place to get started. No matter what the behavior is, if it's habitual and you're hurting over it, and whether it's your habit or somebody else's habit, we're here to offer you inspiration, information, and action to create something new. Our core message is you can put a stop to your fears, and you can start creating a life where you're in charge of your habits instead of the other way around. And if you're already creating your future with a change in habit, you will hear things on this podcast that can help you stay on track and reinforce your changes. So, welcome aboard. Lately, we've been focusing on things that happen when you're hurting because of someone else's habit. And I've been talking about keeping your side of the street clean. This is a little mini-series that we're doing because I realize that it takes not just intention, but the ability to follow through. And in the long run, when you're hurting over someone else's habit, you're going to feel much more satisfied with yourself about how you handle it, even if things don't land the way you want in the situation that you're in. When we're stuck in problem behaviors, it tends to take charge of life. And that creates other problems, and that includes communication issues. Last week, we talked about a second level of communication. I've been in a series about three levels of communication. We talked about the first level a couple of weeks ago, last week, about the second level. And today, we're going to discuss the third level. And that's when denial takes hold, and one or both of you are shut down from facts and feelings altogether. And this is pretty challenging. So if you think you might be in this situation, we'll discuss it further after our practice time. And the practice time sets the stage for learning, because if there's one thing I've learned over the last 30 years of working with people around problem habits, it's that knowledge and information alone just aren't enough to create behavior change. Experience is the key. A lot of habit change programs talk about action, but if the action is just happening in a rote kind of way, that's not deep enough to really create change. It might work for a little while, but it probably won't last. You're much more likely to be successful over the long term when you're connecting to yourself at levels beneath insight or information, or just that surface level of action, checking things off a list and things like that. So Habits into Health practices offer ways that you can experience stepping away from your busy mind, slowing down to connect with yourself. The self being not the usual psychological or spiritual concept of self, but self as that vessel that contains your life force, what you call your body. And that's why we say in this show, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Since today's topic is about denial, let's just use experience to awaken in ourselves in a very, very basic way. It's called a body scan. What we're going to do is I'll make some suggestions and invite you to make some physical contact with yourself. And you may have to adapt it depending on whether you're driving a car, riding a bike, or, you know, walking or listening to the show at home and having to deal with multitasking. And that's okay. We're going to start by having you make contact and notice what's happening in your head. And if you can, take one hand and just place it at the top of your head and press down so you can feel a little bit of movement there in the skull. We think of the skull as being very hard, but in fact, there's a tissue state that's very spongy there. And I'd like for you just to feel your skull right now by pressing with your hand just a little bit. It doesn't have to be very much. And then if you could move your hand to your forehead and just press a little bit into your forehead. Move around to the side of your head and all the way around to the back of your head. Just press and then unpress. And then move your hand to your eyes and your cheek. Make a little contact there. One hand on one eye, maybe the other hand on the other. Then cup your hand over your ears for a minute, not so much that you can't hear, but just get that feeling of contact. And then if you can, you can even bring your hand to the back of your neck and just press a little bit there so that you're feeling the back of your neck. And as you do that, maybe you can roll your head around on your neck if it's possible and doesn't interfere with any other activity that you have. That's right. You can even take a deep breath. And then take your shoulders and lift them up to your ears. And then let them drop. So you're really just feeling the shoulders. Lift them up again. And then let them drop. And let yourself breathe in a normal, natural way, whatever's natural for you, as you do this. Now with your upper arms, way to make contact with your upper arms is you can take one hand and wrap it around your upper arm on one side, take the other hand, wrap it around the other arm, and just press and just feel some contact there with your upper arm. You can also press your upper arms in to the core of your body and feel what happens as you do that, pressing in, feel the contraction that happens in your rib cage, and then unpress. That's right. Now, deliberately take a deep breath and bring your hand to your chest. Feel that chest move. I'm going to breathe along with you. There you go. And then bring your hand down to your solar plexus. That's right in that space between your lungs and your belly, just above your belly button. Take a deep breath. Feel the movement there. That's right. And then bring your hand down to your belly. You'll know you're at your belly when your thumb is at your belly button, your hand is dropping down. And just breathe into your hand there. And then if you are sitting, you can press yourself back into the chair or the couch or wherever you are sitting. If you're standing, then flex your shoulders so that you really feel your back. You can even roll yourself down. Bring your head, drop your head down so you feel yourself in the back. That's right. This is just making contact with something that's physical in you, which is the source of everything in you. Let yourself become aware of your waist and then your hips. And you can tighten there, maybe just like tighten your butt muscles and then loosen the butt muscles. Then tighten in your thighs. And untighten. Don't forget to breathe. And then bring yourself down to your lower legs. Tighten around your knees and your calves. A little bit harder to tighten in the shins, but you might be able to do that if you just grab around those lower legs. And then stretch yourself into your ankles and into your feet and into your toes. And of course, if you're driving a car, you want to be a little cautious about that. But you can at least feel your feet on the brake pedal or on the gas pedal. If you're riding a bike, you can feel your feet on the pedals. If you're walking, feel your feet as you walk. Now the goal here is to awaken to your physical self, not in an athletic way, not in a way of exercise, but in a way of building self-contact. As you educate yourself about your own functioning, you are taking the very first step in creating behavior change. Because a lot of habitual behavior that we recognize is happening on a very visible level. But where the behavior starts is on a level that's more invisible, on a micro-behavioral level. And when you build self-contact through the body in more subtle ways, you are awakening to the part of yourself that starts with some of those habitual behaviors. And it's a really, really good way to begin to feel a sense of self-mastery. Now, if you like this approach to self-knowing and personal change, then you can find out more about Habits Into Health practices by listening on iTunes or come to habitsintohealth.com and click on the podcast menu. If you like us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/habits.intointo health. Then you'll get a post from Habits Into Health podcasts in your newsfeed. And I usually post on Mondays. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host this show and all of the Habits and Health programs. The practices that are posted in these locations are only a start, though. So if you want to take your habit change plan to a more personal level, then come to habitsandhealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. That'll get you started, or apply for one of the limited number of free consultations that I schedule each month. Okay, let's talk about today's topic. If you're in a situation where somebody else's behavior is creating problems for you, it's really easy to slip into a problematic habit of your own. And often we don't want to think about that because it's so much easier to finger point. But that's one of the habits, is you can fall into finger pointing or blaming or overly focusing on the other person's behavior and not being attentive to yourself. And in fact, a lot of folks that are in these shoes don't want to be thinking about themselves because they think that's selfish. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's a different kind of response, and that's something I share with my clients and students. And I call it keeping your own side of the street clean. In the last few episodes, I've introduced a framework for understanding the communication street and keeping your side of the communication street clean. And the thing is that if you focus on yourself and your own behavior and actions, even if you can't control the situation with the other person, and you can't control the other person, then you're going to feel better about yourself, and you'll equip yourself more readily for responding more appropriately to the situation you're in. First, a few weeks ago, we talked about level one on the communication street, and that's where the doors between you and another person are open. You're both aware of facts or feelings that either or both of you have shared, and I call this I know and you know. What you know and acknowledge isn't always happy and hunky-dory. For instance, example, I know that you're unhappy about my choice of profession, and you know that I know this. Or you know that I can't stand your brother, and I know that you know this. So open doesn't always mean the facts and feelings are good. It's just that they're not being held at a level of secret. That's the second level of communication, when the doors are closed. And I call that I know and you don't. At this level, secrets of facts or feelings are being withheld. And just like with the first level, the context determines whether this is a good thing or a not-so-good thing. For example, I know that I've reserved dinner reservations for your birthday, but I'm going to surprise you, so you don't know about this information. Now, most of us would say that would be a good secret. But how about you've been meeting with your high school sweetheart, and even if nothing is going on, you've chosen to not inform me. So it might be an okay thing, it might be no big deal, but it could be a big deal. If you want to listen to the podcasts in which I talked more about the first and second levels, then go to habitsintohealth.com, search for Communication Street in the search box on the top right, and those podcasts will come up. Today we're going to talk about the third level, which is, I don't know, and neither do you. You might ask, well, if neither of us knows, then does that really count as communication? For that, we want to step out of the assumption that communication always happens verbally, because most communication occurs nonverbally. Behavior, gestures, looks, touch, or lack of touch. Even the refusal to communicate verbally, or the refusal to make contact through touch or gestures, is a communication. So think of communication in this way more as signaling rather than words, and consider the levels as having to do with intention and internal awareness. So with level one, my intention is to be open, and internally I'm consistent with that. I keep nothing from you that is of any significance. But of course, being open doesn't mean you know everything about me. It's just that the intention is to keep the door open to understanding. And over time, as we get to know each other, we reveal more about each other, just as a matter of course. At level two, my intention might be toward open, but there are things holding me back. Sometimes, like a surprise party secret, the intention is to be for fun and no harm is done. Unless one of the facts on the first level is that I know you don't like surprises, and you know that I know it. But I go ahead and plan one anyway. That would not be considered nice, right? The third level happens when behavior demonstrates that something is going on, but one or both of us act as if it's not occurring at all. If we had a fight last night, and this morning I'm stomping around, banging the pots and the dishes in the kitchen, or walking around sighing heavily, and you call me out by saying, well, what's up? That's an invitation to bring something to the first level of openness. If I say, well, nothing, maybe I'm at the second level. I might be still steamed about our fight, and I know it, but I don't want to talk about it. And I'm refusing to acknowledge that. But maybe I'm at the third level, shut off from my own feelings, which I've buried. I usually say that it's like taking the facts and feelings, locking them in a box, which is stored down in the basement in a closet way in the back behind a locked door. In this scenario, I'm not even talking to myself about what's going on. When someone you know has a habit that creates problems, they are often operating at third level. Their intentions, their issues, and the results of their behavior are so buried in that underground vault that they don't even see it in themselves. And a lot of times, a person in your shoes operates under the faulty assumption that the other person is refusing to acknowledge their problem on purpose, as if they're at the second level and deliberately withholding something from you, when in fact, they may be utterly clueless. Then there's another problem. If you have fallen into a related habit of believing that other people can read your mind, well then, maybe your other person is clueless, not because of some defect in themselves, but because you have been withholding what's going on with you. Keeping your own side of the communication street clean, in this case, would mean that you'd send signals about what's going on with you and notice what happens. If nothing comes back, or nothing comes back that's clean, at least you will know that you've done your part. You could be in a situation that's unresolvable. It may be that your other person is asleep to themselves and wants to keep it that way. Consider this. If that habit your other person is involved in results in them shutting down to themselves and not being able to cleanly communicate with you, you will probably serve both of you more by stepping back and focusing on your own needs rather than trying to fix theirs. For example, recently I read a post on a social media site from someone obviously in great pain, invested in a relationship with someone whose drinking had created such a great wedge that she didn't know what to do. She was wisely advised by others to start going to self-help meetings for people in her shoes, just because the alcohol was preventing her other person from waking himself up doesn't mean that she should do the same for herself. So by all means, when you think that something vital and important is going on with someone you care about and it's interfering with your relationship, then invite some level one contact. A note or a card, a phone call, a visit over a cup of tea. I'm thinking of you. I'm here for you. I care about you. Whether it's a housemate or a spouse, your child or your parent, a coworker or a close friend, you will be glad that you made the attempt. But if they deny any issues, then let them have their autonomy. Even if you believe they're in denial, well, they have the right to be there. Even if their denial could lead to unhappiness, illness, or sadly, even death. This is the hardest one for people in your shoes to face. It's better all around if you keep yourself on solid ground. Otherwise, you risk slipping into the abyss with them. For all you know, there may be others who will need your support, and there may be others just waiting for you to look up and see that they are here to support you. If someone else wants to stay in that locked box, down in the basement, in that back room behind a closed and locked door, there is little you can do to bring them out of their sleepwalking. But you can wake yourself up. You could be at level one communication with yourself. You can agree to communicate with them about what you see, even if they can't reciprocate. You can also seek some professional advice. Sometimes that's what's necessary, especially if you have obligations that you share with each other, like children or a business, owning a home, being a part of a community. So don't isolate. Reach out. It's possible for you to make the changes you need to make. And it's also possible that your other person will see those changes and want to accompany you. For now, it's time to sign off. If someone you know has a habit that is creating problems for you, then you may have developed some habits of your own in response. My free self-assessment questionnaire can help. You can also find other podcasts, articles, and resources at habitsintohealth.com, and I welcome you to come for a visit. Remember, start small, be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.